Britain's story begins not with a whisper, but with the clash of Roman steel against Celtic shields. When Julius Caesar first gazed across the channel in 55 BC, he saw not just a mysterious island, but a political opportunity. Conquering this legendary land would create excitement throughout Rome, rivaling his competitor Crassus's eastern campaigns. His initial landing at Deal met fierce resistance from blue-painted warriors and chariots. After weather damaged his fleet, Caesar withdrew, returning the following year with 5 legions, only to face the brilliant guerrilla tactics of Cassivellaunus. Despite capturing strongholds and securing promises of tribute, Caesar again departed, never to return. For nearly a century afterward, Britain developed trade with Rome while maintaining its independence. Then, in 43 AD, Emperor Claudius ordered a full-scale invasion. The Romans defeated divided British resistance, and Claudius himself briefly visited, bringing elephants for dramatic effect, before returning to Rome to celebrate his triumph. The conquest faced one terrible revolt when Boadicea, flogged and her daughters violated by Roman officials, raised an army that destroyed 3 cities and massacred 70,000 Romans before being defeated by Governor Suetonius. She poisoned herself rather than face capture. For 3 centuries afterward, Britain enjoyed perhaps its most comfortable period until Victorian times. The military occupation was moderate, and the well-to-do lived remarkably well, with central heating and hot baths that would vanish for 1,500 years after Rome's departure. Though British culture remained a pale reflection of Rome's, the province enjoyed law, order, and established customs. Roman habits, language, and practices steadily permeated society, creating a civilization that, while imperfect, offered stability and connection to the wider world. In the early 4th century, Roman Britain faced escalating threats from Scots and Picts at Hadrian's Wall and Saxon raiders on the east coast. Towns fortified their defenses while coastal regions lived under constant raid threats. As Rome weakened, Britain's defenses failed despite coastal fortresses and naval patrols. By 410, Emperor Honorius abandoned Britain, and within 12 years, Saxons had gained control. From this turmoil emerged King Arthur, likely a historical military commander who united British forces. His mobile cavalry achieved several victories against Saxon infantry, most notably at Mount Badon, 490 to 503 AD, temporarily halting Saxon expansion. Following Rome's collapse, the church preserved learning, while Britain faced new threats, Islam from the east and Vikings from the north. The Vikings, with their versatile longships and superior martial prowess, emerged as history's most formidable warriors, despite their brutal reputation. The Viking Age in England began in 789, with raids intensifying after 40 years. In 866, Ivar the Boneless conquered East Anglia and York, devastating Northumbria's cultural heritage. Alfred became king at 24 during this crisis. After losing at Wilton, he secured peace with the Danes, buying time to strengthen his realm. In 878, Vikings forced him to retreat to Somerset's marshes, where he waged guerrilla warfare until rallying troops from 3 counties for a comeback. At Ethandun, Alfred defeated Guthrum, then chose reconciliation over revenge, baptizing him as a Christian and becoming his godfather. This balance of strength and mercy, coupled with unwavering faith despite setbacks, defined Alfred's enduring legacy. When Edward the Confessor died in 1066, England faced dual invasions, Harald Hardrada from the northeast and William of Normandy from the south. After Harald defeated the Norwegians at Stamford Bridge, William landed at Pevensey. At the decisive October 14 battle, William's cavalry and archers overcame Harald's shield wall when English troops broke ranks pursuing retreating Normans. The Norman victory brought change while preserving effective Saxon institutions like the royal curia and local government system. The conquest shifted England from Scandinavian to European influence, while Norman bishops implemented continental church reforms. This transformation reinforced European unity, established monarchy as a class mediator, and strengthened a Catholic Church that balanced Roman authority with Christian ethics. England emerged unified within Christian and Latin civilization. Henry II, though ruler of a vast empire stretching from the Arctic Ocean to the Pyrenees, was instrumental in establishing English national unity. A stocky, red-haired man known for his tireless work ethic, he displayed steadiness in crisis despite an unpredictable temperament. Henry favored parliamentary governance over absolute rule and made his greatest impact through legal reform. He expanded royal authority by extending the king's peace to criminal cases and establishing trial by jury, which moved justice from feudal to royal courts. The jury system became fundamental to English justice, establishing that law stems from the people. Unlike continental systems based on Roman codes, English common law relied on precedent and peer judgment, a system that would later spread throughout the English-speaking world. Prince John's ruthlessness and calculated cruelty inadvertently led to a milestone in rights and freedom. After his defeat at Bouvines in 1214 destroyed his continental alliances, the barons, guided by Archbishop Stephen Langton, organized opposition based on law and ancient custom. At Runnymede in 1215, John agreed to their demands, sealing Magna Carta. Though primarily addressing feudal administration rather than constitutional principles, Magna Carta established the revolutionary concept that even the king was bound by law, a doctrine that would endure beyond its feudal origins. During Henry III's reign, England's parliamentary system took root. Simon de Montfort sought to curb both royal and baronial power, championing the community of the Bachelors of England and extending reforms to baronial estates. In 1265, he summoned the first representative parliament, including both shire and town delegates. Though Montfort fell at the Battle of Evesham that year, his democratic ideals persisted through his nephew, King Edward I, who would build upon the principles of the uncle he had defeated. Under Edward III, England's military prowess grew through the revolutionary longbow. This weapon, wielded by well-paid yeoman archers, could strike targets at 250 yards with devastating effect. While English forces adapted with mobile archers and defensive stakes, France remained fixed on traditional armored knights. The 1346 Battle of Crecy proved the longbow's dominance. English archers overwhelmed both Genoese crossbowmen and French cavalry with lethal volleys that fell like snow, piercing armor with ease. The Black Death's arrival via the Crimea decimated one-third of Europe's population, shaking social structures and challenging church authority. The Wars of the Roses ended at Bosworth Field in 1485, where Richard III fell to Henry Tudor's forces. Richard, despite his reforms, was troubled by his past crimes, as Thomas More observed. He never had quiet in his mind, his eyes whirled about, his hand ever on his dagger. The battle marked the Plantagenet dynasty's end. Henry Tudor's marriage to Elizabeth of York united the houses, ending the revengeful ghosts of two mangled generations and launching the transformative Tudor era.